That bop was Your Touch. And hello and welcome back to Sin's Australian music show, The Hoist. As always, I'm so glad you're tuning in from wherever you're tuning in from. I'm your host today, Anika, and I've got a very exciting interview with literally the biggest hype girl ever, Matilda Pearl. But before we get into it, Sin and The Hoist would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the traditional owners of the land that our content is created and studio sand. Sin and The Hoist would also like to pay respect to all elders past and present and acknowledge that sovereignty has not yet been ceded. But she's literally all I've been seeing on my feed, this amazing woman. She's been gaining so much momentum over the just recently, and it serves her right, and she literally has the best energy and the biggest heart from the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria. It's Matilda Pearl. Thank you so much for jumping on today, girl.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
No, literally same. Like, I don't know if you can tell from the energy in my voice. I'm very,
very that's so good.
I love it. And I always like to kickstart my interviews with asking, are you thriving and why? If so, like, if are you thriving and why?
Oh, I reckon I am. I feel like, so obviously I finished year 12 last year. If you'd asked me that probably about like a month ago, I was kind of like, no, just because like kind of getting back into a rhythm after year 12 and having to make my own timetable, not being at uni and kind of not having, you know, people tell me what to do all the time was kind of jarring at first.
Yeah.
But no, I'm having a great time at the moment, especially, you know, being able to be out and about again, seeing people, like, yeah, nah, it's so good.
Yeah, no, I love that. And it's definitely very exciting and there's definitely been a lot going on. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, nah, it's been so exciting. Like, it's kind of, like, it's super exciting at the moment because all this stuff that I'm able to share with people, I've kind of, like, you know, had, like, known about for, like, 6 months and been excited about and kind of, like, you know, when people are like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I can't tell you yet, but like I'm so excited to tell people. So no, actually, to be honest, rather than being tiring, it's been like super kind of like releasing and just exciting to be able to share all this stuff with people, especially people who've been like supporting my music since since I was like 14. Like it's really special.
Yeah, and I guess one of the big things that you particularly expressed that you were super excited about on your social media was your new management and your new label deal with Sweat It Out.
Yeah.
You've signed for Totally. Unifined with management.
Yes.
And Lonely Islands Agency for your touring, which is really exciting. Congratulations, first of all.
Thanks so much. No, I'm so lucky. Like, I think one of the biggest things in music is kind of, obviously, I think sometimes the industry can be a bit of a scary thing and it can be kind of, you know, daunting having to put like trust in people and choose these people to kind of be your music family. But I'm so lucky. Literally, I love like everyone on my team. They're all just such gorgeous people. So I'm just so excited to start this kind of like new phase and like new journey with them.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess talk me through a little bit about your team and how you guys all got in contact.
Well, I actually met Aiden. So Aiden McLaren, who's my manager, I met him at a Push Ink workshop in Leongatha in 2019.
Yeah.
It was kind of like my first networking thing. I'd like sat quietly through this whole like panel. I think Celine was there as well from Triple J Unearthed. And there was a few other people there, but I was really excited to kind of meet Aiden because I saw that he was from Unified and I'm a huge fan of all their artists. But at the end, he was talking to someone else and Mum kind of came in to pick me up and she was like, have you talked to Aiden yet? I was like, no, I don't want to be a bother. He's talking to someone. Let's just go. Like, networking is literally my biggest fear. I hate it. But no, Mum, you know, pushed me on the bum. I went and said hi. And I'm very grateful that she made me. From there we kind of just started, like, I'd send him music on, like, emails and stuff and we kind of talked for, like, 6 months and then he came and watched one of my shows in March, literally, like, I think a few days before the global pandemic was declared and we all went into lockdown. So very lucky that he was able to come and see me. And then kind of with... I think a lot of people had more time in the industry world to kind of like take on development development artists. And so, yeah, he reached out kind of during lockdown with Harry from Lonely Lands, and they were like, why don't we do a trial? Which I almost died. I was like, yes. No, I was like, cool, calm, collected on the call. And I got off the call and was like dancing around the house. So I started with them probably about a year ago, like exactly a year ago, actually, probably on trial basis. And and then Sweated Out came on just randomly. Sass, who is amazing, she's like my girl from Sweated Out, she's amazing. She heard me, I think she said her friend showed her the song while she's in the shower or something like that. So something random like that. But yeah, they were all legends. I wasn't expecting to sign a label deal this early, but they just had such a good vibe and were keen to kind of take me at this stage when I'm just starting out.
Yeah.
And kind of like develop me as an artist and just help me kind of grow my network of people and my like visuals and sound and stuff. So yeah, I'm really excited about it all.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess like there's lots to learn, I guess, from these people.
Oh, so much. Yeah.
What have there been any kind of take home kind of things that you've learned?
So much, like too much to say in one interview. I think so. I'll say two things. One, in songwriting sessions, which have been, I'm getting, you know, put in rooms with lots of different people, I learn like something in every session, because every writer is so different, and the way they're able to kind of, you know, deal with writer's block or deal when, like, just those things that when you're by yourself, you don't really pick up or learn. And I think like the biggest thing I've learnt from songwriting sessions as well is to not expect every session to be like the best thing ever and to come out and have like the next hit, because I was like putting a lot of pressure on myself at the start. But then after a few, you kind of chat to people and they're like, you just don't gel with everyone. Like, you can't. So I feel like that was a big takeaway. And then the other one, this gorgeous artist called Pricey, who she's also on the Sweat team, literally like my mum, when I went on a writer's camp to Sydney by myself, like for the first time, and he like took me under her wing. And just kind of watching how confident she is talking to people in a room. And I was talking to her afterwards and I was like, how do you like network and how do you start conversations? And she was like, oh, like it scares me as well. You just have to like kind of, you know, just like back yourself and kind of put on this like almost fake it till you make it with the confidence, because it is. But learning heaps, and just from different artists and creatives, I feel like everyone you interact with has something that you can take away from. So yeah.
No, 100%. And I feel like you've grown, like, do you feel like you've grown so much just even over the like the past
year? Oh, really? Oh, literally since like putting out Soak, which almost a year now, but even from when, because I started writing and kind of recording songs when I was like 14, and when I think about how much I've learnt from then, like there's especially like with like Spotify and Apple Music and learning how to use those kinds of platforms as an independent artist or even an artist that's signed, like you learn so much. Like, it is so much preparation. Yeah. It's not just, oh, I'm going to put out a song and I'll chuck it up and see what happens, because it's like a one in a million that it's going to do well if you chuck it up and see what happens.
No, so 100%.
I feel like that's, to be honest, one of the biggest takeaways, and also how important, not to every artist, but to me as an artist, putting in just as much energy into the visuals and like how you look as an artist and who you are as an artist. Like, that was kind of the first thing that Aiden and I sat down and did. He was like, well, who are you? And like, obviously not, don't make up who you are. You actually have to, like, when you have to sit down and be like, who am I? How do I sum myself up in a few words? It's like, it's a big thing. But it's so important as an artist, I think, to be able to do that. So that's another big takeaway, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess like social media is a massive kind of a part of being an artist.
Oh, totally.
I think on like a personal level for myself, like it's something that I particularly struggle with, I guess, keeping up with the demands of social media. But you honestly, you always do an amazing job. As an artist, like, do you feel like pressured to kind of keep up with these demands and like staying relevant?
Oh, Totally. I mean, for me, Instagram has become much more natural to me, but like my screen time is so terrifying looking at it. It's like 5 hours a day. Like, that's a whole school day on my phone. It's so bad. But like, you just have to be there like all the time. Yeah. But the one thing I struggle with is Instagram. I feel like I've got my head around with like, I mean, there's always stuff to learn, but with like stories and like, you know, when people tag you and stuff, like getting on that straight away and looking at what you've been tagged in and sharing it, because it's those things of people who have been there since the beginning. When you share their stuff, it makes like such a big difference, because as an artist, I think no matter how big, it, like if I ever get really big, I always want to make sure I have time to like share and reply to those people who have always been there, because there's, it's like I have some people who I haven't even really met in person yet, but have supported, like support me all the time. They'll send me messages and be like well done, this is so exciting, and yeah, that means a lot. TikTok is impossible to get my head around though. I can't, it's so hard to be relatable. I can't be relatable. And then like, Twitter as well. I forget about Twitter all the time. That's the one thing that's overwhelming, is how many platforms there are. And like, once you think you're up to date with one, I like open my TikTok and I'm like, no, I have to give it.
100%. No, 100%. And I think it's like, it's so, like, it's just such a big part of it. It's almost like another job, like social
media. Oh, it is. It so is. It takes like, if just even like replying to people's comments and then like planning, if I'm going to do a TikTok, what am I going to do? Oh, I have to put aside this much time to film it. And like when you start kind of like blocking out, like social media takes up most of your day as an artist, which at first is kind of like, no, because I want to be creative and that's not what I want to be doing. But I think there's benefits and kind of like cons as well to it, because obviously it makes it so much easier to be an artist and get a platform. Like, you don't necessarily need, like, you know, it used to be you had to be signed by a label and they'd make you big, whereas you have the opportunity to kind of make yourself big, but then there's also the pressure of that. So
yeah. Well, hard. I think as an artist, do you feel like obviously like social media is very integral, but like, do you feel like you can be an artist without social media?
Oh, that's that's hard. I feel like on a songwriting level, like there's kind of like two sides I personally see to myself as an artist.
Yeah.
There's like Matilda Pearl, who is kind of more like the like glittery, sparkly. And I feel like that very much lives in social media, and I wouldn't be able to convey the visuals and kind of like vibe of my world without social media.
Yeah.
But then at myself as a songwriter, on the other hand, like not an artist, a songwriter, I feel like that very much doesn't need social media. That's you know, me like sitting at a piano and writing a song. Like, I don't need to be like telling people all the time on social media. But I think if you want your music as an artist to kind of like reach other people, then social media definitely is such a huge thing.
Yeah, it's obviously important in terms of distribution, but I think, as you kind of said, like as a songwriter itself, in its true art form.
Totally. And I think different kinds of artists, like, you know, the more type like busker kind of, you know, setup, I feel like that's more like you can perform just everywhere and it's more like people know about you and it's like a word of mouth type scenario. I think on a visual side, which personally to me is a huge part of my project, definitely like social media is like at the heart.
Fair enough. And I guess just on your songwriting, we're going to get into your brand new release, Linger, very, very shortly. But before we do, you told Power Rats that Linger is about knowing something is bad for you but hanging around anyway, which I did in the last few years of high school. Do you want to elaborate a little bit about this?
Totally. No, so usually my songs are like not about personal experience, just because as a young person, I don't feel like I have enough personal experiences to talk about all the time. But this one, personally to me, I mean, I want people to take it in their own way and kind of not make it just about what it is, like what it's about to me. But to me, I kind of had, you know, started drifting away from friends in year 12, which I feel like is a big thing in year 12. It kind of, you in the earlier years of high school have these huge friendship groups. But then as you start to kind of figure out more what you want to do and put more time into yourself, it kind of tests the boundaries of those friendships, I think. Yeah, and I ended up having, not to diss them out or anything, they're lovely people, but had a pretty, you know, sour friendship where it was a lot of the time people were like, oh, but your music's more important than we are. And so that kind of created a bit of a, divide in our friendship. But it was, I wrote it when I was kind of thinking about, oh, but these guys are my best friends and like we've had such good times together. But then also kind of being like, but it's great and all that it was really good, but right now it's not working for me. And kind of like deciding whether to move on or go backwards. So that kind of, it's kind of from that personal experience. And drinking like lots of coffee to kind of like 3 or 12, I just threw that line in. It was kind of like, I was like, you know, being stressed and it's not just about the friendship. It is very much this feeling as well that I think a lot of year 12s would feel is like, you know, being able to accept that something in the past was really, really great, but like trying to not, you know, just linger and kind of cling on to something that's not really there anymore.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's so relevant. I think just, I think going off that, we'll tap into a little bit after the song break, a little bit about life after year 12. But for now, we'll get straight into the song. This one's called Linger. It's by Matilda Pearl, and it's a really, really, really upbeat track. But you're here on The Hoist, here on Sin's Australian Music Show. My name's Anika. I'm joined by the one and only Matilda Pearl, and here's her track, Linger. God damn, the energy continues to linger, which is very fitting because that is the title of that track. You're here on The Hoist. My name's Anika, Sin's Oz Music Show, and I'm joined by Matilda Pearl, who is the artist of that track, Linger, with her fresh new release, which is really exciting. And lots of exciting stuff has been happening, and we tapped into it a little bit before, but that particular song's been getting played a lot on the Triple J's, which is really exciting. And I guess, Matilda, what does it mean to you to have artists, I guess, like Bridget Huswaite and Declan Byrne, I guess, playing your music and giving you accolades and all that kind of thing? How does it feel?
I think with every song, like, I just have to, like, pinch myself a little bit that, like, because, like, when you think about how many songs are being uploaded to Unearthed, like, every day, just, like, for them to kind of reach out and be like, what you're doing is really cool, like, keep going, is like, yeah, it's just the coolest feeling. And it doesn't matter how many times you hear your song on the radio, every time it's like, oh my God, my song on the radio. Like, it's so cool. And yeah, the whole team from Triple J are just so amazing. I think we're so lucky in Australia to have a radio program dedicated to really supporting and nurturing new Australian artists. Like, I think that's quite a unique and awesome thing we have.
Yeah, 100%. And it's really exciting. And I guess, yeah, as you said, like having radio play is honestly, it would be the most exhilarating kind of
it's so cool. Feeling.
And I guess, like, would it kind of assimilate to performing live? Like, you've got July 3rd, you're playing at the Northgate Social Club, which is really exciting. We've got the single launch for Linger, which is really exciting. And you've had a whole bunch of different performances this year, may I just say, which have been so cool. I guess playing at like shows at like the Workers Club, Wrangler Studios, but also at like the basketball and things like that.
Oh yeah, that was terrifying. That was like the scariest experience of my life. But it's been cool just to perform again. And I think I got very much thrown back into it. Like, I did the Workers Club show first, but then I got the MBL, which literally got an email like the week before, and they were like, oh, do you want to perform an arena? I was like, do I? Yes, please. Like, that'd be so good. It was a pretty overwhelming performance, to be honest. Like, I used in-ears for the first time, which I know a lot of artists like have, you know, kind of pretty much disaster stories the first time they use them, just because it's different hearing it straight in your ears. And the arena was crazy because you'd hear the song 4 times, like, after each other out of time, because it's bouncing off the acoustics of the arena. And so if your in-ears fall out, you're stuffed because you're like, oh my God, I don't know, I'm not in time anymore. It's been really cool. It was kind of the first show I did, which was when I met my whole management team pretty much for the first time after working with them for 6 months just because of COVID. I was like, show fitness is a thing that COVID really stuffed me over. I'm so out of breath. But no, it's just so cool to be performing again. And like you're saying, with it is a similar feeling to hearing your song on the radio. It's that kind of just having people dance along, and because obviously a lot of my songs are unreleased still that I perform live, and having people start to sing along halfway through the song to kind of certain phrases is so cool. It's just, I always try and make it so that when I perform live, it's just kind of like just hanging out with friends and being weird with friends, because I love trying to kind of break down that barrier between the audience and myself as a performer as much as I can, to really feel like we're all just hanging out rather than I'm performing and listen to me because I'm really cool. So, I think that's important to me.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess, is this something that like little 14-year-old like Matilda Pearl, is this like a place that she would be proud of, if that makes sense? Is this where you kind of envision your life to be?
Well, it's so crazy. I mean, when I was 14, I was still kind of deciding whether I wanted to be a doctor, a musical theatre performer, or do pop. So I think I had too much on my plate then. I think 14-year-old Matilda would just be so proud that I'm able to have a team around me and be able to, you know, write songs that I'm really proud of. Because I think when I was 14, I'd kind of finish a song and be like, oh, it's okay, but it's not in my head a pop song. It's kind of me trying to write pop music. Whereas I feel like the more I write, the more proud I am of the stuff that I'm writing and the people I'm working with. So I just think it's so cool that I'm able, and also that I was able not to go to uni, because that was a big thing for me throughout high school, was like, oh, I think I'll have to go to uni straight after high school because that's what everyone's doing. And I think I was pretty proud of myself just to be like, no, like I'm going to give it a year and just work on my music and see where that kind of, just put trust in myself and see where it goes.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess we kind of tapped into it a little bit before, but this idea of balance, and I think coming out of year 12, I've even noticed this myself as well, because I graduated last year, and so having that balance, so you're not going to uni, and you've got music, you've got your, you know, family life, social life, your personal life as well, but what people might not know about you is also that you're a dolphin guide. Anything you don't do?
Oh wow. Maths, I'm terrible at that.
I love that. No, but I guess balancing, it's something that's really difficult, and as I said before, it's something that I've really struggled with, I guess, this year. How do you stay balanced? Do you stay balanced? Do you have any tips? You know, how have you found it?
I mean, I always find, I'm not gonna sit here and say yes, I have like perfect balance. I'm really good at it. I do find that sometimes I have to sacrifice kind of one thing for a little bit, but just trying to it's hard. The one thing I find really hard to balance is also fitting in time to look after myself and like my mental health and like my like physical health and stuff. I do find that's quite challenging, but also kind of accepting that sometimes it is going to be a bit out of balance. So like over summer when I'm working on the boat, I kind of am like, well, this is what my biggest focus is at the moment, because it's our peak season, and like it was right after year 12 and, you know, wanting to just do something where, because obviously the ocean is a big part of my life. I was like, for now, this is going to be my focus. And then in a month, songwriting is going to be my focus and I won't be, you know, on the boat as much. I think as well, living so far away from the city, that commute to then when I'm doing songwriting, it's hard to then have the balance of like, come home and I'll go for a walk or I'll do some yoga or something. Like it is hard to find that balance, but I make myself little timetables and notes and goals for the day. And which includes like, oh, at this time I'm going to watch like Handmaid's Tale with my mom, because that's like important to me to have like family time and just like not being too hard on myself. I know this is a big rant, but I always in early high school, I think anything I did, I was like, I could have done that better. Like, why didn't I do this? And as like a perfectionist. So kind of just being like, well, today I'm not feeling it, so I'm going to watch Netflix. Like kind of having those days every now and then, I feel like makes it easier to be balanced when you within the, limits of being healthy, kind of give yourself a break.
Yeah, 100%. And I was like, I was chatting to somebody a few weeks ago, and they were saying that, like, when you're so busy, often the first thing that you drop is taking care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so true. And I think, yeah, just kind of, I think making, I'm a very visual person, so making lists for myself, and just obviously, like, I'd love to sit at my computer and write all day because it's what I love doing. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm going to turn into like a hermit if I'm like, you know, hunched over my piano all day. Like, I need to go out, get some fresh air. So yeah, just kind of, and also you don't have to fit everything into one day. I have to remind myself, like, make a timetable that's like 3 days, try and get everything into 3 days, because I do find though that when I'm busier, I get more done. When I don't have as much on, I just sit on my bum all day and I'm like, I did nothing. I didn't do anything. So keeping myself busy personally keeps me balanced, which is probably weird, but it does.
No, it's actually not weird, because that is literally how I work as well. And I'm sure many listeners is really similar as well.
Totally.
Because it's almost like when you know you've got a time crunch, you know you have not got time to waste. So you've just got to do it.
Exactly. So true.
Yeah, 100%. Well, okay, we're coming on to the end of our little show today. But before we kind of wrap up this little interview with Matilda, I've asked Matilda to kind of choose a song that she's been loving at the moment. And so the next track that we've got coming up is a really cool track by two absolute female powerhouses. Matilda, what have we got coming up next?
We will be playing Secretive by Coda Banks and Nina Ricci. I'm obsessed with this whole album. I think every song, like when I commute to the city, I just put it on repeat and I feel super badass, like just this female superhero on the train. It's so cool. Yeah, and I hope you guys like it as well.
Awesome. I'm literally a fan of it as well. And it's literally a banger. I know, 100%. And I guess speaking of bangers, we played a few bangers on the show, lots of Matilda's included. But I guess if people want to find you and find all these bangers, Matilda, where can they head to on your social media?
I think my Instagram is probably the easiest, which is Matilda_Pearl. And I've got my little link tree link at the top that just has everything in one spot. It's the best thing, so you can find it there.
Amazing. Awesome. And if you want to find us, The Hoist, that is on your social media, head to @TheHoistSin on your social media platforms. So all the best, I guess, reviews, Oz music content, and I guess interviews and all that kind of thing. But I've loved the chat today. Thank you so much for jumping
in. That was fun. Thank you.
So much fun. And I guess thank you for tuning in, whether it be on your radios, online, or on your streaming services. The next track, as Matilda lovely announced a little bit before, we've got Secretive coming up by Coda Banks and Nina Ricci. But you're here on The Hoist, here on Sin on your Thursday night, Sin's Oz Music Show. My name's Anika, and I've had the pleasure of chatting with the amazingly bubbly Matilda Pearl about, I guess, all things new music and, I guess, her life in 2021. As I said, thank you so much for jumping on, Matilda.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And I guess let's get straight into this next track. This one here is called Secretive by Nina Ricci and Coda Banks. You're here on The Hoist, here on Sin. My name's Anika.